And we're live with an uncut episode here. As always, my name's Juan.
And my name's Omar.
And we're happy to be back here with you guys again this beautiful Sunday morning. I'm burning out here. Well, actually, I have the AC, so it's not that bad in here. But it's about 105 degrees already where I'm at. Omar, I'm sure, is sitting there pretty comfortable in what, like 70-degree
weather? 90-degree
weather. 90-degree, really? It's getting hot over there, too.
It's been hot out here, yeah.
Yeah. So, again, as with this, with the previous uncut episodes, we're just going to be talking about whatever comes to mind. So, what's on your mind, Omar?
A whole lot of gang shit, you know?
Gang shit? Hey, we don't do no gang shit here.
When you greeted me earlier, like, gang, gang, I was like, oh, okay. A lot of gang shit.
That's true.
So, yeah. New update on the... On the podcast, Juan is actually involved in gangs now. So
I'm definitely not involved in the gangs. In the workaholic gangs, maybe. In the workout gangs, for sure.
Interesting affiliation.
In the Funyun gangs, sometimes.
Funyun?
Spicy Funyuns, you know what I mean?
You like the Funyuns?
I like the hot ones, not the regular ones.
Interesting.
Flaming ones, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like the Hot Cheetos brand did a collaboration with them.
Yeah.
Those are good. It's funny because I always used to see those Funyun bags, and they used to seem like the most unappealing bag of chips to me.
The yellow bag?
Yeah, the yellow green.
Yeah. They're okay. I mean, I'm not a big fan of chips anymore, to be honest. I think it started as like me being like trying to be more healthy. Like, oh, chips aren't that good. Let me just stop eating them. Now I just actually don't like them because then I stopped eating that, and I stopped. Like sugar and salt now, like I don't like an excess of it because I stopped eating all that disgusting stuff I used to eat, like cookies. Still eat ice cream every now and then, but before, like I said, I was a literal ice cream addict. And I used to eat chips, a lot of soda. Don't eat any of that anymore. So whenever I do have a chip in my sister, like she's probably not going to like, but she really likes chips. And there's always chips. And whenever I have one, I'm like, the first two, I'm like, oh, it's actually pretty good. I'm like, oh, this is not good. Just too much salt, too much. I don't know what it is about it, but I can't.
Too much shit.
I can't eat those anymore.
Yeah. No, I feel you on that. I've been noticing a lot of changes within myself and my eating habits as well. I mean, I've been training recently, so I've been out of town. So I'm kind of susceptible to all the fast food there, but I try to keep it to like a minimum. And it's like, if I'm really, really not
training,
hungry.
Training? What you training?
Training for life.
Okay, that's the right answer. I'll let that pass. That's a good
answer.
I'm
not here training for life.
That's an acceptable answer. I'll let it pass.
Okay.
Carry on.
Yeah, just like whatever food I eat, I try to keep it to a minimum if I'm not hungry, you know? And like back in the day, well, I mean, like, I had a lot of bad habits, a lot of, like, I refer to them as, like, disorders, you know? Like, if I drank, I drank too much. If I smoked, like, way back in the day, smoked way too much. If I ate, it's, like, I just stuffed my face with food. And for the most part, when I eat, it's still, like, a slightly large meal, but it's just kept to, like, a minimum. It's not, like, 4 or 5 times a day. It's, like, maybe the one big meal in the day. The other meal was probably just, like, some form of protein or something in the beginning of the day just to kind of get going, and that's it. And you keep it going, you keep moving, you know? Yeah.
So for the most part, you're obviously don't have most of the disorders. You don't drink, you don't smoke, and the food you're getting better at. What do you think, what's led you down that? Cause I suppose it was mainly food, but for me, like I said, what drove me away from it was the health aspect because I was working out. Then I ate this disgusting food, and this was also back then when I really wanted to see like physical results in my body. And I was like, oh, I'm not seeing any results. It's like, you're working out and then you're eating this. So that's what, for me at least, made me think, all right, I need to go away from that. How did you, cause those are three pretty big things to just be like, nah, I'm good.
Gone. I think initially is when I was doing like physical labor. I got to a point where my body just went into like sluggish mode. Whatever I ate just made me feel worse. So if anything, I would try to starve myself throughout the whole day, which is like ridiculous when you're doing hard labor.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, I got to find a different source of food while I'm working. Like that was the initial thing. Like once I'm off work, I can spoil myself, you know, go get some pizza or whatever. But it's like, while I'm on the job, like I got to get something that'll make me feel good, keep me energized and keep me, you know, working throughout the whole day. And that's essentially when I started hitting up that cafe down from my house, Picasso's, you know, get that Power Bowl. I've been craving that Power Bowl. I want to get it. I haven't been able to get it in a while, but it's just a huge amount of like food. It's like, if you get it to go, it's like in a box and you just open the box and just like the food just comes like pouring out. And I think I've already talked about it, but, you know, it's the grilled chicken, it's the eggs, it's the quinoa, it's the black beans. And I would add like spinach too. And I think I might be missing one thing, but yeah, it's just essentially just something very healthy. And of course, when I first started doing that, it's like my body loved it. I mean, it still does, but it's like, going from eating like Jack in the Box, you know, like frozen processed chicken and fries that are
What's your go-to Jack order?
Jack in the Box?
Or what used to be?
Well, I went last week.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm telling you, like.
I'm over here thinking, like, tell me about your dark past, Omar. Well, actually, I was there 2 days ago.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, where I'm training is out of town. So there's not really, it's a smaller town than Sonoma, if you can imagine that. And it's not adequated for good eating. there's really not that many options. But for Jack in the Box, it's probably the, what is it, number two? It's like a buttery something Jack. It's just a burger.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I used to
fries?
Go for just like fries.
Regular
I used to
curly?
Go for like...
There's only one right answer.
No, you know, it's funny. I actually did order curly fries last time that I went, like this past week. Fucking didn't get no fucking curly fries. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, I don't even need Jack in the Box, but it's like, okay, fuck it, I'm going to go. I don't even get my curly fries. I was like, what the fuck?
You know? They didn't give you any, or you're saying like they weren't really curly?
No, there was no curly fries. I just got regular fries.
Oh, gotcha. Ooh,
and I was just like, well, what was the point of that? It is a bad trade. But. I mean, I'm sure the curly fries are probably slightly unhealthier than the regular fries, right? I guess.
I think it's the same thing, honestly.
You think so? Yeah. I mean, it's all unhealthy.
You think there's more calories because they're curled?
No, just like they probably have more...
seasoning?
Oh, what's it called? When they dip them in the fryer? Yeah, like what's
batter?
The actual like grease, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, when you dip fries in the fryer, what's the liquid that's in the fryer? It's
oil.
Yeah, I was thinking of aceite, but I couldn't do the translation in my head. I don't want to sound like a weirdo.
It's the same oil, though.
Yeah, but I feel like they stay more in those because they're like in a swirl, you know? Sometimes when you get them, they're like bunched together. Like they're not like a slingy. I don't know. It's still unhealthy.
Thinking about the science of that already. Like if the surface area maybe allows it for more... oil to be absorbed. I don't know. Could be a thing. Maybe you're just making yourself feel better.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. But point is, I didn't get no curly fries. So,
oh well.
Damn. But yeah, I just kind of try to keep it to a minimum. Like in and out when I go, I usually get like two burgers. But then I started just doing like the protein style, right? Just lettuce wrap, you know? And then I used to get like two fries, and then I was just like, all right, just the one fry, but like still two burgers, you know, like change it up. I'm still not like 100% healthy. I still have my own like days where I just like, okay, I give up on my eating today. Like, okay, cool. You know, and then I pay for it the next day. But the point is that now if I'm paying for it, it is only the next day. It's not the whole week, and it's not affecting my, my physical health outside of whatever I'm doing, you know, like I used to literally be in slump mode, like a whole weekend. And then I wouldn't get anything done and just be lazy. Now I'm just like, okay, I gotta eat like lighter today. Cause I gotta go do this right now. I gotta go do that right now. Right. Like, oh, I'm on my way to the gym, or I need to go to the gym later today. Like, you know what? I'm gonna just skip the meal and just wait until after I get out the gym, you know, stuff like that. It's my meals are no longer the things that I plan around. It's the other way around though. I plan my meals around everything else that I do, but Yeah, I'm still not perfect. I still have my slip ups. And
hold up. Yeah. You're not perfect.
Absolutely not.
What's wrong with you?
Everything. Juan, I'm telling you everything. Like, you're not perfect. What's wrong with you? Everything.
Everything. Did you not just hear I went to Jack 2 days ago? What is wrong with me?
Yeah. It's funny too, because when I was in the drive thru, I was already regretting it, you know?
Yeah.
I just already knew, but I was like, whatever.
It's funny you say that. I've been craving some In-N-Out for some time. I haven't had it in like a couple of months. Even when I went back to California, I actually didn't have it, which I was really surprised. My sister and my mom too were surprised. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, you always get In-N-Out. Like, that's not, you just come and you eat In-N-Out. And by the way, there's In-N-Out here too, like 2, 3, 4 of them, but I haven't gotten it. I don't know why. And I've been craving it as of late. So I don't know. Maybe I'll keep fighting it off.
Yeah. Well, when you were saying that thing about like the chips, I think it's interesting. Like, I went through that phase as well, where like once I started eating slightly healthier at work, then it transitioned out of work. And so whenever I went back to certain meals, like whether it's just like a snack, like a bag of chips, or just like a general unhealthy meal, like I wasn't enjoying it. My body was almost like regretting it on the spot, like literally like when a computer tells you decline, you know, and you're just like, your body was just like declining it. And so that's the interesting thing, that at first, initially, for people that are trying to like maybe like lose weight or just kind of change their diet around for whatever purpose they're doing it for, it's like initially, yeah, it takes that initial effort and you get cravings. But after a while, it's like it just seems natural, to the point when if you were to come back to it, like a few days, weeks, months later, like your body's just like, oh no, bro, we're good. Like, why are we doing this again? We're good, man. We moved on.
It's a literal like physiological change, because if you think about like eating sugar and all that sort of stuff, that's fine. Take it to the next level. Someone who's a vegetarian or a vegan, if they eat meat, they will literally be sick. Like, their body forgets to some level how to process meat protein. And they just get sick, like horribly, horribly sick. It's actually pretty dangerous. So that 100% happens to your body when you stop eating something. Of course, we're talking about sugar and salt and different quantities of it. And even today, like every day, we eat some sort of sugar and salt, just less of it. But if you take it to the extreme, like I said, and you know, you're vegetarian, you don't have any meat, and then for whatever reason, someday you have like a fillet, you're going to be sick, 100%. You're going to be sick. Of course, if you continue eating them, like with everything, you'll adapt again, and then you'll learn again how your body will learn again how to process that. But with all those things, it is a very real physiological change you have to consider.
Yeah, I mean, it's also interesting, because when I was younger, as I might have mentioned, might have not mentioned now that I think about it, like my dad was going through a lot of health issues. So when he recovered from those health issues, it became more critical for him and I to bond, because that's when I was, you know, in elementary. So I was like, I don't know, 9, 10, 8, 12, something like that. And it became very critical for him to make time to hang out with me outside of school, because he was always working like excessive hours. So I would only see him like maybe nighttime. But after his health issues, he was like put on disability leave, and he wasn't really doing all that much. He was still, you know, doing side jobs and whatnot, but he would actually pick me up from school now. And when he would pick me up on, I think, Wednesdays, it was our like designated day to go get like McDonald's or Jack in the Box or whatever, you know? And that's also an issue that I'm recognizing now, is the bonding through meals, right? Like, I enjoy going out to restaurants and eating, but it's like, from the very beginning, when I was younger, I have a lot of bad habits that I can trace all the way to back then, simply because I was doing it through the guise of something else, not through the guise of just supplementing myself with good protein, good nutrients. It was, oh, this is how I bond with my dad. We go out to McDonald's every Wednesday, you know, or it's like, my dad and I are just going to stay home and not do anything. But if we go out and eat junk food, we will talk. We will actually, you know, get to know each other better and stuff like that. So that's that's also another thing that I trace back to that. But it's a beautiful thing when you get older and you notice these things, and you're like, oh, there's a few things that are out of place here. Let's make some corrections, And I think that's the beauty of life. You know, don't ever think that you're too far gone or, that's just the way I am. Like, bullshit. Nope. You can always change. You can always make improvements. You can always adapt to different 100%. Situations.
Yeah. An update on my end that 100% goes with that is I've recently gotten more into budgeting. And I'm not going to lie, I'm 25 and I'm barely getting into budgeting. No one ever taught me to save money or take care of my money. Like what you're saying about eating out, like maybe that's just a Hispanic thing. Maybe it's just the region where we grew up. Who knows? But my mom was always the same. I've said it multiple times. She always said, never skimp out on food, like skimp out on everything else. But always, you know, if you want something, just buy it because it's a fair point. She's like, all right, you don't know how long you're going to live. Go get that ice cream. If you want to get that ice cream again, there's good, there's positive to that. And there's negatives to that. But overall, no one ever told me what a Roth IRA is, what a brokerage account is, the capital tax versus the employment tax versus the income tax, all of these different things.
Right.
And especially no one taught me how to budget. So I've been watching a bunch of YouTube videos from, I think it's CNBC Make It. It's like this series called Millennial Money. Check it out, actually, Omar, and anyone listening as well. Essentially, it just follows millennials and how much money they're making, how they spend it. I love those videos. I got to say, like, I'm in love. Like, I'm rewatching a lot of those videos for a couple of reasons. One, it breaks through the stigma of not talking about how much money you have, which I think is such a bad thing to have. And especially I learned it being in the tech field. It used to be so bad because no one in the tech field would talk about how much money they made. The problem is someone new gets hired. They become friends with this other person that's already been there for a while. I'm like, oh, how much are you making? And they're getting ripped off by Facebook, by Google, by these companies that have billions and trillions. I don't know how much money they have, like trillions of money. And on a more general sense, I've tried to be a lot more open with you, with my sister, with my mom about how much I'm making, how I'm spending it, so that they can also share that with me. Because for all intents and purposes, there could be someone that is making half of what I make, but they budget it a lot better and they have 20 or 40,000 in the savings account. And I have zero. I have no savings at the moment. Yeah. Right. And that's something that you have to be, there's a certain discomfort from saying that and actually saying like, I don't have any savings accounts, or I have this X amount in student loans, or I make this amount of money. Like I get it. Everyone has those things, but if you don't discuss them, then you can't learn how to deal with them. Right. And since watching those videos, especially, I've learned how other people around my age who are making more, who are making less than me, are managing their money. And I learned about two specific apps, YNAB, which stands for You Need a Budget, and Personal Capital. The YNAB is like a short-term thing. So a very real like budget per month. And I've just been loving it. I essentially put, how much do I have to pay for rent? How much do I have to pay for electricity? How much do I have to budget for eating out? Because I still love to go out and eat and drink and do those things. And I want to tighten down, but I can't do that all at once, right? If you spend approximately $300 per month eating out and going out to drink, you're like, all right, I'm going to budget now and only spend $100. Really? You're going to decrease it by that amount? It's not a realistic amount. So I've just been budgeting everything that I need to do, all my loans, credit card, again, rent, electricity, Wi-Fi, all that sort of stuff. That really helps out. And the personal capital I really like, I actually sent you a screenshot, Omar, of essentially it tells you your net worth. And the net worth is based on your assets and your liabilities. Now I have student loan, so my current net worth is negative, which I don't have a problem with. I just like the fact that I actually know where I stand because I have a lot of money invested. I also have a lot of money in loans. And then I have, right, of course, my income and other things that I have to, my credit card and things. So I really like that in combination for me, at least those two really work of like the You Need a Budget, YNAB works for short term. And then the long term is the personal capital. So again, another example of me not knowing what something is, but learning it at my age and getting a little bit better. I just started honestly, like 2-3 weeks ago. And as I told Omar, I've been trying to be a bit more strict with my spending, especially with the vacation that's coming on pretty soon. Like, I have to have money for that. So there you go. I'm learning.
Yeah. No, I remember you showing me the app when you showed me the screenshot. I mean, I told you this in text message, but I was like, that's huge. I mean, how many people do you know our age that are thinking about that stuff? Like, nobody really does. I mean, yeah, of course, like, we didn't grow up with our parents telling, like the example that you're using, like oh, like, whatever you want for food, you know, like, get that, you know, like, eat that. It's like, hey, Mikul, like, whatever you want for what do you call it? For, like, Bitcoin, you know, make sure you get all the Bitcoin you want when you're young. And I was like, no, there's no talks like that. There's no conversations about anything financial. I myself have also taken it upon myself to have conversations with my parents about their finances and what kind of financial decisions they made earlier on that, you know, became good ideas back in the day. I think I've already spoken about this, but there was a lot of, like, people that were familiar to my parents that got involved with, like, pyramid schemes, and they lost a lot of money. And then when the housing crisis hit, they lost it all. They lost a lot. There was major losses. And, you know, we talk about taking L's here and there, but I mean, these are major L's, right? Because these are essentially financial decisions they made that impacted them for the rest of their life that they couldn't quite recover from. And so me learning about that is, like, really important right now, because I want to make sure I know what it looks like to lose financially. I know what, I want to know what it looks like when somebody loses their house, loses, you know, a large investment, because I want to get to the space where I make those big financial decisions. Like, we're talking about large sums of money, right? We're talking about companies. We're talking about perhaps corporations, right? I want to get into that position. But when you're at that level, like, you got to be willing to take some losses. And the losses that you're taking compared to just an everyday 9-to-5 employee at some job are, like, crazy. Like, you're losing a lot if you take a loss, right? Obviously, the idea is not to take a loss, but you have to be prepared mentally for those kinds of losses, right? And so it's important for me to see what that looks like, because I myself also have very bad, you know, financial literacy, in the sense that I make money, spend it. I make money, spend it. I make money. Okay, I'm gonna save $100, but maybe it's not really saved because I just have it in my wallet somewhere. And then someday I forget and, like, oh, look, I got $100, and then spend it. Right. So it's important for people to have that discussion and recognize if they themselves aren't saving money, or they themselves aren't being, you know, responsible with their money, because who knows what direction our country's taking, but things are a little bit on the edge lately, you know? And if you're not in a good position, like, you might be suffering more than had you just focus on saving a little bit more, or maybe investing in something that could help you at least at the very least retain your money.
There's about a 60% chance, I'd say, of a recession coming within the next couple of months.
Yeah.
If not year. It's a difficult situation. I've also, like I said, I've been learning a lot more about that. When I'm at the gym, I'm not listening to music. I'm, like, on Yahoo Finance, listening to their live show about, like, stocks and the economy and everything of that sort. Just a pro tip for you guys. There you get, one, the physical benefit, the mental benefit of working out, but you also literally are learning new things. You can do it with an audiobook. You can do it with whatever else you want. For me, I'm just interested in that. And I'm at the gym really early. So at that point, the stock market, like, so when I start working out, the stock market is barely opening, like, maybe 5 minutes ago it opened. And yeah, it's a difficult situation because you have inflation and you have the Fed trying to lower inflation, and they're doing it by increasing the interest rates by a lot. These are numbers that you haven't seen for a while. I mean, the last one was a 75 basis point. So essentially, 0.75% increase in interest rate. That hasn't been done in about 40 years, I think, something like that. And the latest inflation report was up from, I think, 8.6 to 9.1. And again, the administration has really declared they're going to bring down inflation. And they know that it could cause a recession. They don't really care because they think it's going to be worth it in the long term. There's a lot of other complicated aspects that go into it, but essentially now they're considering a 100 basis points, so 1% interest rate increase, which I know doesn't sound like a lot, but it really is very, very significant, because you usually have like a 75 basis point increase over the span of like 3 or 4 years. And then you have what they did more recently, which was within 3 months, they raised 75. And now they're considering a 100 basis point. So anyways, there's a concern that we're either going to, the consumer itself is going to cause the recession because of inflation, or the government is going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing the interest up, bring down inflation successfully, because it will bring down inflation by necessity if you increase the interest rates, but you're gonna cause a recession. Now, from what I've heard and what I know, when it happens, because I do think it's going to be a when, not an if, it'll be a mild, mild recession. So something within like probably say 10 to 15 months. So about a year, maybe more, which is good, by the way. The 2008 recession was like multiple years. So there's a lot of panic happening, but as long as, again, this is another reason why I've started looking more into my finances, because when you look at like people who don't have a home, right, homeless people or the people that are struggling, we often think like drugs, we think horrible things have happened to them. And in a lot of cases, that is the case. But at least in California, with, as Omar knows, the high state income tax, then you have the federal income tax, and then you have the increase in housing, the housing market. If you lose your job and you're out of a job for a couple of months and you don't have someone to fall back on, your parents, your significant other, you're homeless. That's not a foreign mm-hmm. idea. That's not a big jump. Just like that, it happens. And again, I think that just highlights more and more the need to budget, the need to just plain and simple understand, how much am I making? How much am I spending? What do I owe in the long term? Do you have loans? Do you have credit card loans? Do you have student loans? Do you have a car payment? All right, that's a loan too. Mortgage. All those things, just so you're aware. And I got to say, I just started recently, but it's super liberating, because one, it sucks that I know that I have to tighten up, but also it's super enlightening to know how much money I have, how much money I owe. Right. Again, that screenshot I sent Omar, like, it's not a number that I'm comfortable with, because I don't want to have a negative net worth, but I love that I know exactly how much it is to the cent that I need to make, that I need to pay, that somehow I need to do to flip it over to the positive side. And once you're there, right, there's some other guy that I watched from the Shark Tank who said, like, if you can make it to like 30 without having any student loan, like, you're in a really good position, which, not student loan, just loan in general. So I'm honestly trying to do that before 26. So before I'm 27, actually, probably. Anyways, sorry. Yeah. That was a lot of information there. I just dove into the economy, the recession, the financial, but that's where my mind is right now, at least.
Hey, it's okay, man. If you just want to talk by yourself, you know, I could just shut off my camera.
Well, now that you say there's this other thing.
And then also my face just goes blank.
I move my hand to there. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's cool. I mean, you're obviously very involved in that right now, in that current aspect of your life of the financial literacy. I don't see anything wrong with that. I like hearing about things people are motivated about. You know, there's nothing worse than when somebody's telling you or talking to you about something and it's passionate like all bullshit.
About this shit for
like
real.
You're not really.
That's why, like.
Yeah, exactly. There's some actual passion.
Yeah,
and I think that.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you're finished talking, hon. All right, let me talk.
Apologies.
Jesus Christ, dude. God, dude.
All right.
Can't get enough of yourself. it's good to be able to draw those points out and really explain to people, like, look, this is why I'm so passionate about this. Like, this is why it's so important. This is why you need to be listening to this. Like, it's not just me, like, it's something bigger than me. It's not just like, hey, look at this thing that I found that's really cool and I think it's awesome because I think it's awesome. It's like, no, this is something important, something that you should be listening to. This is something that you should be looking into yourself, right? Involve yourself into this, because that's how we improve, right? I connect most improvements in my life to Juan. There's the majority of them.
And yeah, he still makes fun of me. Right. I just want to note that.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
Give me all the improvements, and in response, I will insult you. Go ahead. That sounds like a deal.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Hey, it's the counterbalance. You know, yeah. You got to counterbalance everything. Yeah. I mean, that's just who I am, obviously. But you know, it comes from a place of love. It's not like I'm literally shitting on you, right? It would be much different if I was like straight up. Imagine if I just start hating on you, like, oh, you think you know everything, Juan? Like, oh, no, really, dude, tell us, right? And when, you know, we knew we grew up with people like that, that are just haters. But no, it's all love. And I mean, I'm just a clown myself, but I do recognize that it's important to become a little bit more involved in those aspects of life, right? Because perhaps initially we're more involved, or I was more involved with like trying to make those big leaps, those big changes to get me onto building a good foundation for myself, right? But it's like, that's what happens though. Once you build that foundation, once you have set yourself up for success in a general sense, now you transition onto every other aspect of your life. Then you get into the specifics, then you get into the crevices, the details, right? And you're trying to chip away. It's no longer just the big haul, initial haul. It's now it's like, okay, let's focus on the details, right? And so that's what it comes down to is finances, the next best thing to focus on, right? Especially in the scenario that we enter a recession. I've been thinking about that since we mentioned it to each other, like, you know, probably now a few weeks ago, because a lot of people that I listen to for podcasts were just mentioning it, you know? And I don't watch the TV. I don't watch news networks. I don't really watch mainstream media. But all of a sudden, it's like I found myself more inclined to kind of look into things, right? And look into articles and look into what people are saying. And that's when you know it's something important, right? Somebody that refrains from any like general media on the TV, on any channel, network television or whatever, it's all of a sudden like coming back to it. It's like, it must be something for important, sure. Right? And so I think it would be unfortunate for anybody, including ourselves, to not be financially literate, be in a bad financial spot, and then enter the recession. Because as you're mentioning, there's homeless people. I don't know if I want to say that the majority of homeless people have entered that position because of like drugs and stuff like that. There's other things that happen as well. But what one thing that I have seen that's like common with all of them is just there's no care for their own life. Like there's no initiative to do better. It's like there's no even self-love, if you will, right? And that is reflected in what they're doing with the little bit of money that they do have, right? Whether they're wasting it on anything, you know, some sort of thing to kind of alter their influence, right? Their judgment or other things. It's temporary happiness that they're spending their money on, right? And that's what I see. It's common because as I've been training at this other place, I've been seeing, people that are from those different walks of life. And I see that thing in common. There's a lot of anger in their eyes. There's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of sadness, but yet every single time they purchase anything, it's like alcohol, cigarettes, lottery tickets. It's not food, you know, it's literally that. And to me, that's like heartbreaking because I'm seeing that side of that scenario, right? Or in other cases, it's also people that are like people don't really know what it looks like to be homeless. People just automatically assume you'd just be living on the street, like in a tent, right? But there's people that live out of their cars, right? Even the people that have those vans that like to travel around, technically they're homeless, you know? It's still technically homeless. It's a cool lifestyle. Don't get me wrong. But it's technically still being nomad, right? And so people also need to.
That's a hippie word.
I don't know. Just people need to be a little bit more aware of what it appears to be homeless than just automatically assuming it's a stereotype of somebody that hasn't bathed in days and you know, is just sleeping on the street underneath some cardboard, it's like it could literally be you, and you could literally be sleeping in your car. And that all stems from not being financially literate, not making those good financial decisions, not saving, not investing. I mean, the best investment I think we've talked about on this podcast is literally investing in yourself, you know, invest in yourself, invest in your own life, invest in your health, your mental health, your physical health, right? And let your financial decisions reflect that, that you're taking care of yourself, that you love yourself.
100%.
Right? That's all I got to say about that. I ain't talking numbers.
100%. I've been reading this book. I just started this book. Highly recommend, even though I just started. Atomic Habits by James Clear. Just another of the books that's pretty well known for...
What's up? Say that again. Habits. Atomic Habits? Yep.
By James Clear. It's another book on the long list of super amazing self... I don't even like to call them like self-help books. I like to call them... I don't know. I don't really have a name for them. But they're more like... I just call them growth
books. Self-awareness.
Like just growth. Because that's all I've had from them.
Yeah.
Starting with David Goggins. I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink. And then now I'm starting this one. And there's plenty others out there as well. This one is really good. I actually put up a quote in one of my stories for the gym that I think you actually liked, Omar, which was, you should be far less concerned with your current results and more concerned with your current trajectory. And that is something, again, going along with exactly what you just said of invest in yourself. And what I've learned so far in this book, which is only like 10, 20 pages that I've read, is the work accumulates. If you work and you work and you work, and then I see this in myself as well, and you get frustrated because you work and you work and you work and nothing happens. And you're like, fuck, man, I'm doing something wrong. I'll switch it up. Let's do something different. And it's like, you got to realize that the work that you put into things has a delayed effect. And again, I don't know how I haven't exactly realized it through everything that I've done. But it's so true, because you work and nothing happens and nothing happens and you're still in the same position, same position, same position. And then the way he explains it is like, imagine an ice cube and you raise the temperature from 60 to 61 and 62 to 63, 62, one degree. And the second it crosses the threshold from, I don't know exactly what the threshold is, but let's just call it 67 to 68, it starts melting, it immediately starts melting. Did it happen because of that 1 degree change? No. It happened because of those 15, 10 degree changes that happened before that point. And all of it just accumulated to this one threshold where you pass and all of a sudden you're doing this. Now all of a sudden the ice cube is melting. And I love that idea because, one, I see it in you specifically, Omar. I know you had been doing a lot of things for a lot of months in the past, let's say 2-3 years. I don't know how long it's been. And nothing really changed, right? I mean, I kind of saw it. Like nothing changed discernibly. I noticed it because I'm your friend and I'm talking to you and I know what's going on in your mind, more or less. But nothing in your life really changed, right? You still were doing this and then you were still doing this. Small little incremental improvements. That's essentially the title of the book, Atomic Habits. Improving by 1% every day is what he was talking about. 1% improvement, 1% improvement. Do that over 365 days. That's a 365% improvement in 1 year, right? Because of that. So it's, I don't know. I'm just in love with that idea because I see it so clearly now that that is indeed the case. I had been working out for about 4 to 5 years on and off, right? So I would be very consistent. Then I would be very inconsistent, consistent, inconsistent. And I would get very frustrated because I'm like, nothing is really changing. Yes, my physical body looks different. But once I started realizing like, hey, I want to do this for the mental aspect, and it's kept working on it and kept working on it, right? Especially when I was in Davis, for example. And I started waking up at 6 a.m. and I told Omar, hey, I want to build a schedule. I want to be more disciplined. All these things that I was really frustrated. I've been working so much at this. Nothing has happened. And then that threshold was crossed last October. October 27th, to be precise. And for me specifically, I've been working out every day since. Right? That's that threshold where like, how do you get to that? I'm sure someone that would just like stumble upon this, my story someday is like, 262 days, that's bullshit, dude. Like, I'm sure you didn't do it one day, or something happened one day, or you didn't even sweat one day. So there's something in there. Like, I don't believe you. It's like, on one end, like, I don't really care, obviously. But on another end, I had a hard time understanding it too. I have a hard time comprehending that number, because it's like 262 days. Like, how many months is that? How many weeks is that? You look at it and I'm like, that doesn't seem right either. On my end, internally, it doesn't make sense, because how can you get to that point and it just happens? But it's like, it's been happening for the last 5-10 years of my life. That's what makes sense to me now. It's like, I didn't just do this and flip the switch within one day, right? October 26th, I was not working out. All of a sudden, October 27th, am I a completely different person and I'm working out for 262 days? No way. There's no chance, right? It's all the accumulation of the previous work that crossed that threshold. Now you're doing this other thing, right? So for anyone out there feeling the same thing, like, damn, I'm doing great, but I'm not having the results that I want, focus on your trajectory. If your trajectory is looking good, right? If you start, let's say you want to care about saving money, and you start budgeting and you start doing these things, give it a couple of months, give it a couple of years, maybe. Who knows? But eventually, if you keep on the right trajectory, the results will kick in.
I like that narrative. I mean, it's true. It's realistic. It actually makes sense. I think I was a victim of my own, like, ignorance and thinking that, from one day to the next, like, I'll just become a different person. I'll be a different man. And it's just not real. It's not true. It doesn't happen. It doesn't exist. That narrative, especially nowadays, is really pushed by, like, social media influencers and kids on TikTok or whatever, showing off these, like, crazy aesthetic bodies and all that. But they're taking, like, excessive amount of, like, testosterone, other steroids and all this stuff. And kids are growing up seeing that, and then they believe it themselves, and then they continue the cycle, right? And it's not true. Like, when I first started working out, I essentially wanted to give up right away, because I was like, this is the amount of work I have to put in every day just to, like, see any results, like, not even the results, just any results. I'm like, forget that. Like, who's got time for that, right? But that's when I realized I was doing it for the wrong purpose, right? And then what, like, you're promoting there through that book is, like, you have to learn to love what you're doing. You have to learn to love the hard work. You have to learn to love the pain, the suffering as well that comes along with it, right? And understand what the reason is behind what you're doing. For me, initially, going to the gym was very much just for the aesthetics, like, to lose weight, whatever. And it transitioned into something else. And once it transitioned into the next thing, that's when I actually succeeded. When I was doing it just for the aesthetics, just to lose some tummy fat, that's when I was failing, because I cared so much about my appearance and I cared so much what others thought about it. But once I stopped caring about that, and once I no longer cared about the aesthetics, like, I started seeing some real improvements, right? And again, you could be doing it for a different purpose, right? There's different drives in all of us, but that really is what it is, right? And, you know, that's just using the gym as an example, but in every other aspect of my life, the same thing applies. Like, I wanted a new job, I got a new job, right? I wanted a different form of living, you know, a different thing to do every day, right? I did it, you know. We wanted the podcast, right? Start off as a hobby. Once we transition into, okay, let's make this into a business, now it's on another level, right? Now we're seeing more success, right? And that's just, again, it applies to everything.
You have to have some patience.
Yeah, I really like that. But I really like that that narrative of, like, consistently working towards something to reach that angle. It's like, it's a beautiful thing, because I know how much hard work you're putting in, right, every day, right? I know how much hard work I'm putting in every day. There's days, more than less, days where you don't really see any sort of, like, hey, good job. Hey, here's a pat on the back. Or you see some great progress that you made. Like, it's not really there, right? But every now and then, you'll hit those milestones where you're like, okay, I'm at a new place in life. Like, okay, I've made some progress. It has all come to fruition, right? And that's what makes it all worth it. Because you've been chipping away for so long that the next day almost wouldn't matter. But if you were to stop, it would matter, right? That's the fucking 100%. Shit that matters. I love that shit.
We can wrap it up, but let's just think about that. Those 1% improvements, you yourself, Omar, right? I'm sure you can think about like where you are right now versus where you were previously. And I think we need to humble ourselves a little bit and remember that you didn't become this person from yesterday to today, from the day, from last week to the last, to now. I didn't become this person. Again, this is something that I'm learning as well. Like every single thing I did previously led me to this point, right? Those 1%, 2%, 3% improvements, whatever it is. The book is just focuses on 1%. But whatever it is, a single improvement every single day leads you down the other path, right? And acknowledge that. Acknowledge that you didn't just stumble upon this. Again, this goes back to how you can beat imposter syndrome. You can't be an imposter if you've been improving every single day for the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years. It's impossible, right? Because the work is right there. It's almost like you have a literal log where you clock into work, you clock out, you clock into work, you clock out. And if someday, 2 years ahead, your boss is like, hey, I don't think you worked that 1 month. Well, let's go back in the records. Actually, I did. I'm here, right? So,
yep, been here.
Yep, I think it's a good place.
I like that. Closing words. I like that. It's like focus on the 1% incremental changes, not the the day to night, the night to day,
sure,
the over day. It's people don't forget. We're in this for the long run. We're going to be here for a while. And we hope you are too.
100%.
But you got to be able to stick around and see the fruition of all that change. So
let's do it.
Let's put in that work.
All right,
guys. Thank you. Make sure to check us out on Instagram at The Intrinsic Podcast for more content, additional content apart from the podcast, as well as all podcast updates. And then check us out on Spotify, YouTube. We're also on Anchor, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and you know all your other favorite podcast platforms. And don't be shy, guys. Give us a follow. Give us a like. Give us a comment. Give us some feedback. We've been putting in some more work into making like those reels and stuff on Instagram. I've been having some fun making them. You know, it takes out my creative abilities. So if you like that, let us know. Also, if you want to collaborate with us, reach out to us. You know, we have no problem doing some sort of collaboration with other people, whether it's through Instagram or just a podcast in general. So hit us up.
Let's do it.
Get some work done.
Appreciate y'all.
All right, guys.